Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and studying with us today. One of my favorite stories of the Bible is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, recorded in Daniel chapter 3. These were three young Israelite men who were brought to Babylon during the captivity and who served as administrators in the province of Babylon. Now, Daniel chapter 3 verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now this image was about 9 feet wide and about 90 feet tall. That's as high as a 7 to 9 story building. Nebuchadnezzar has gathered together all of his government authorities. It says in verse 2, the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been called to this assembly. And the instruction is this, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. That's chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Now, while Nebuchadnezzar's gold image was elaborate, our objects of worship today take different shapes. They take the shape of dollars, houses, cars, boats, vacations, Hollywood stars, musicians, and even pulpit preachers. To most of our objects of worship today, we don't bow a literal knee, but we bend our minds to them. Anything that holds your affection, controls your devotion, influences your moral standards, determines your decisions, wins your loyalty more than the one true God, that is your object of worship, and that's your God. While we may not bow the knee, we can bow the mind. Paul makes mention of certain ones in Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19, whose God is their belly, meaning their own fleshly lusts had become their God. Colossians 3 and verse 5 states that covetousness is idolatry. I can't say for certain where our nation is headed and how soon it is going to get there, but probably our government leaders and our society have yielded more to the gods of this world than in any other time in our nation's history. And the situation that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in may soon take its own form in the 21st century. You know, the same command that God had given to them as His people, He gives to us today. You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Now, verses 7 through 12 here in Daniel 3 says that when all the people heard the music played, they fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, all except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you picture this scene? The music starts and everyone falls to the ground except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's clear, there's no mistaking that they don't bow. Hey, get down, don't you know what is going to happen if you don't bow? Someone may have said. Well, certain Chaldeans at that time came forward to Nebuchadnezzar and reported to him that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 13 says, Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. The king said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Well, I don't know, but maybe Nebuchadnezzar is shocked. Who dares defy my authority? Who and why would anyone do this against me? Don't they know who I am? Don't they know my power over them? Don't they know the consequences of this? You know, the world is often going to be shocked when everyone bows to the cultural trends and we don't. There will be times when our refusal to conform is going to surprise people. it probably will even offend some people. When you buck the status quo at work or at school or even before family because you know God would not be pleased, it may shock and offend some folks. We need to be ready for that. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, "In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." Well, Nebuchadnezzar says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, another way of viewing this is that maybe Nebuchadnezzar was disappointed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego no doubt had been faithful, productive servants to the king. And could it be that Nebuchadnezzar was thinking, are not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego my friends? Look at what I have given them. I have spared their lives, given them the best of Babylon, appointed them to powerful positions. It is hard to believe that they would rebel against me. Is it true? You know, many times it is easy to oppose those who are your enemies. I mean, aren't we supposed to do that? But it is much harder to oppose those who have treated you with kindness. Gerther stated, "Most men can oppose their enemies, but it takes a special person to oppose his friends." You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego may have had to do this in this case. And there may be times when you and I have to do this, when we have to stand alone against our friends in order to please God. Well, Nebuchadnezzar offers them a second chance. He says to them in verse 15, "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Well, Nebuchadnezzar is pretty arrogant here. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? You know, it's interesting to notice in the Scriptures that the rulers of pagan nations never seemed to grasp their place in God's eyes. Pharaoh of Egypt was given a 10-lesson correspondence course on who God is. The Rabshakeh of the Assyrians said to the Israelites, "But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria?" That's 2 Kings 18, verses 32 and 33. Well, they too received a lesson when God wiped out in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 in one night. Well, God is going to give a lesson to Nebuchadnezzar as well. We see this taking place not only here in chapter 3, but also in Daniel chapter 4. You know, we have governing officials today who believe the same, that they have no account before God. They have disregarded God and His laws. They think that they can do whatever they choose without consequence. Well, they will eventually learn, as Nebuchadnezzar did, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. Daniel 4, verse 25. We as God's people can take confidence in knowing that no matter what governing officials do, no matter what freedoms they may take, they are accountable to the one true God. He will execute justice, and we, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, can take confidence in that. Now notice how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded to King Nebuchadnezzar. They say, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." That's verses 16 through 18. Wow, what a response. We have no need to answer you in this matter. You see, they had already given their answer, and it wasn't going to change. They are saying to Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter what you say or what you do. We're not going to bow to that image. Our answer stands. You know, we often worry about offending people with God's answer. You know, people ask us, "Do you really think homosexuality is a sin? Do you really believe that only Christians are going to heaven? Are you telling me that one has to be baptized to be saved? You see, when we have given God's answer, we don't have to give a second answer. God's answer is sufficient. We don't have to water it down or worldly it up. Sometimes the answer is just going to offend people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt no need to satisfy the king in this matter. King Nebuchadnezzar had come into conflict with their king, and that was the end of it. And when you stand in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, smaller kings just don't matter. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had asked, "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said that our God is able to deliver us. Well, what made them think that? Had God told them? Well, that's not in the story, but no doubt they had heard from God's law and prophets of how God delivered Israel from Pharaoh, and how God delivered David from Goliath, and Elijah from Jezebel. You see, if God wants to make it rain or snow or give protective barrier, then He can, and He will. They knew that not only was God capable, but was willing to save those who are faithful. But they also knew that it was possible that it was not His will to save them at this time. And their attitude was, even if He does not deliver us, we will not bow. Let me ask you, is it possible to serve God even when it does not pay in this life? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego proves that it is possible. These men said, we will not bow whether God saves us or not. Also, Job proved that one will serve God for nothing. After he lost everything, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1, verse 21. You know, it's easy to bless God when He gives. Can you bless the name of God when He allows Satan to take away? Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, our job is to glorify God no matter what. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow, and they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. But God protected them. They were not harmed. You know, they could have made a lot of excuses to bow. We are young, there are only three of us. Or, we'll bow the knee but not the heart. It's just a gold image, we won't mean it. Or, you can't fight City Hall, some things you got to do to keep your job. Or, will not bowing really make a difference? Well, here we are 2,500 years later taking encouragement and motivation from the faith of these three men because they didn't bow. You never know how the execution of your conviction is going to help others. But if you bow, there won't be a story to tell or an influence to encourage. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, we would like to hear from you. There are three ways that you may make your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.